Hello, I'm Claire Castle. Thank you for joining us for a week-long series of podcasts about our native pollinators, brought to you by the Fish and Wildlife Service, an agency of the United States Department of the Interior. Today is June 25th, and Anita Noguera, National Outreach Coordinator, talks about lawns and an ecologically beneficial alternative, pollinator gardens.
Throughout the history of the United States, the landscape has been in constant change. Agriculture, the growth of cities and suburbs, and other land uses have resulted in tremendous alterations to our environment. In some places that have been extensively developed, very little of the original native flora and fauna remain. This is particularly true with our yards. We are a society that loves our lawns, so much so that about 20 million acres, or slightly more than 31,000 square miles of the national landscape, is maintained as mowed grass. How much is that? It's about equal to the combined total area of the state of South Carolina, or the land areas of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, and New Jersey combined. When this much area is fundamentally covered by one type of plant, such as grass, it should not be surprising that it offers little value as habitat for pollinators or other wildlife. Keeping all that lawn space maintained in perfect order can also be an expensive, time-consuming, and at times environmentally damaging proposition. So breaking with traditional landscape practices can not only bring something new to your property, it can help to conserve our native plants and pollinators. If you live or work in the city, there are lots of possibilities for pollinator gardening in urban landscapes as well. So, here are some reasons to consider kicking part, or all, of that lawn habit and giving pollinator gardening a try. You can save some or all of the time you normally spend mowing in an activity that can actually benefit the environment. Gardening for pollinators can also reduce the costs for pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizer, not to mention the cost of fuel for that mower. Cutting down on your use of chemicals will also help reduce environmental pollution by runoff that eventually winds up in streams, wetlands, and other bodies of water. Reducing air pollution from lawnmowers is good for you and your neighbors. While that might sound a bit silly, mowing your lawn for 1 hour with a conventional gasoline-powered lawnmower can cause more air pollution than driving from Madison, Wisconsin to Chicago, Illinois in a new car. And changing over from grass to native plants can also help to conserve another important resource, water. If you're one of those folks that enjoy having a garden for those fresh summer vegetables, locally supported butterflies, bees, wasps, flies, beetles, hummingbirds, and other pollinators will give your harvest a boost. Pollinator gardens have another great benefit. Regardless of their size, they're great places to introduce children to many of nature's small wonders. And, by making your yard a more biologically diverse environment, you can also attract an array of other wildlife to enjoy. So, curious about how to get started? There's lots of information and products available for attracting butterflies and hummingbirds, native bees, and other pollinators. We can't endorse any particular products, but we can share some great suggestions with you about how to get started. Libraries, the internet, local botanical gardens, and garden retailers are all sources of information about plants to consider for your pollinator garden. However, when selecting plants, we encourage you to use native plants. Native plants are those that grow naturally in your region. Other advantages to using native plants, especially from local sources, are that they're adapted to your local and regional climate and soils. Your local native pollinators are also adapted to these plants and both have a long biological relationship together. Additionally, native plants generally require less water and maintenance than horticulture varieties. One thing you want to be sure to consider is to select species that will provide a sequence of continuous blooms throughout the season. Different species of native bees and other pollinators need to feed from spring through fall. While a burst of flowers will keep them around for the short period that the garden plants are in bloom, a succession of blooms will keep different species around the whole growing season. This will provide pollen and nectar to bees and other pollinator species that are active at different times during the growing season. If you do use horticulture rather than native plants, please consider using heirloom varieties. What is an heirloom? Heirloom plants are flowers or garden vegetable types that were commonly grown during earlier times, but are no longer used in today's large-scale agribusiness. They are open-pollinated, and that means that a particular plant can be grown from seed and will come back true to type, with the next generation looking just like the present one. And unlike many modern plants that have been bred for showy flowers, heirloom varieties tend to be more productive of nectar and pollen. That's good for our pollinator friends. Another suggestion is, when selecting your plants, to remember that native bees tend to be attracted to flowers that are blue, purple, and yellow. Hummingbirds, on the other hand, are attracted to red flowers. Butterflies are attracted to a wide range of colors. And plants that flower at night, such as gourds and evening glories, will attract a variety of moths with their white blooms and, in some cases, sweet fragrance. The size of your pollinator garden is up to you. Be practical and consider how much time you want to spend tending it. You don't need to start big. Even a small garden can provide valuable resources for bees and other pollinators. In fact, we would recommend starting small. A 4x8 or 10x10-foot pollinator garden will provide plenty of resources for pollinators and provide you with a show of busy critters that you can enjoy the entire growing season. Another important point to consider is sunlight. Typically, plants in areas that receive more sunlight will produce more nectar than those in shady situations. In terms of locating your garden, a spot that receives at least 6 hours of sunlight is ideal. A few more tips. Provide some protection from the wind. Pollinator gardens planted without some sort of windbreak will not get as many butterflies. Mass plantings of the same flowers together will help to attract the attention of pollinators at a distance. It's much easier for the pollinators you're trying to attract to see a group of the same flowers blooming together. If you want a garden that produces food for the table, and that will really bring the importance and value of pollinators home, we would encourage you to try planting various heirloom varieties of vegetables, flowers, and herbs. These old-time plant varieties are becoming more widely available at nurseries and in various seed catalogs. They are good choices for the table and will benefit from your pollinator garden. And since heirloom varieties breed true, with a little care, you can save seeds for use the next year or to share with friends. One of the most important benefits of pollinator gardening is that it presents an opportunity for you, your family, and your neighbors, no matter where you live, to benefit our pollinators and to gain a deeper appreciation of a remarkably important community of small species. For the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, this is Anita Noguera.
This podcast is a product of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a partner with the North American Pollinator Protection Campaign and the Pollinator Partnership. Tomorrow we will talk about things you can do to improve pollinator habitats. To tune in to other National Pollinator Week podcasts and find pollinator-friendly information and products, visit www.pollinator.org.